Wrestling Informant 24/7. WrestlingInformant.com.
This is Wrestling Informant Radio, WrestlingInformant.com, WrestlingInformant247.com, all the websites. We got them all. Wednesday, June the 24th, 2015. How's it going, everybody? My name is Gary Cantrell. Joined, as always, my partner in crime, my wingman, my right-hand man or left-hand man. I don't know what the hell he is. Chris McManamy. Hello, Chris.
Hey, man. How you doing?
All right. How are you, sir?
I mean, I'm doing great.
Fantastic, fantastic. We have to start the show with a little bit of bad news. We announced earlier on our Twitter this morning that we were going to have a very special guest tonight, courtesy of the great Chris McManamy, who I just speak so highly of. Del Welks, the Patriot, formerly known as the Patriot, or is the Patriot, or, you know, however you want to refer to him as, Del, the Patriot, you know, he will not be able to join us tonight, unfortunately. I believe he's got something that came up or what have you, and he will not be on tonight. But I am told by our booking agent extraordinaire over here, Mr. Chris over here on the other side, Chris can give us details as far as a possible rescheduling.
Yeah, I'm going to try for an upcoming Wednesday, maybe even next Wednesday, which I have to see if his schedule lines up. But yeah, I'm working diligently to get the Patriot back on the show.
Fantastic. Love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. All right. And one more thing on the Patriot before we move on to the news of the night. We've got a couple of things going on here, but on Twitter, if you head over to our Twitter page right now, twitter.com/PW Informant, we have a link. I think it's maybe the second or third tweet down where we have a link to Dell's Kickstarter. Yes. And so everybody go and check that out. There's a nice little video up there. You can kind of get a preview of what's going on. And I've had a chance to look at this preview video and check out some of the stuff that they're doing on their page, and it looks really exciting. And, you know, make sure that you guys donate to Del Welks and support the guy and get on the ground floor with this documentary. No doubt about it, man. Get right in there. That's what I say.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's a really great cause, and yeah, just help him out if you can.
Absolutely, absolutely. Help this guy out. All right. And now, speaking of helping out, I mean, you know, we can all use a helping hand. I like to think that I can use a helping hand once in a while. Chris, on the other hand, who just, you know, he just upgraded some of his equipment. I'm sure he could use a helping hand. So if you go to wrestlinginformant.com/Amazon, a beautiful link that you can go to. You know, Chris, everybody buys stuff from Amazon. I mean, come on. Everyone buys from Amazon.
Everybody.
Don't lie to me and tell me you've never been on Amazon before in your life, or that you never bought nothing. You're full of crap. You've been on there.
Everybody
and bought something. Yes. So go to wrestlinginformant.com/Amazon and just buy something. Damn it. Help us out. Why don't you? Please. Chris doesn't really need the money, but I do. I really need the money.
Oh, hey, I can always use the money.
I don't know, man. You're kind of a swinging dick out there in St. Louis, man. IT extraordinaire. I think you're doing okay, sir.
Yeah, I'm doing all right, but every little bit does help.
Very good. Very good. Well, look, we've got a bunch of stuff. I mean, we have all the show notes with Dell, so we can just, I don't have a paper crumbling up sound effect, but I'll just clap my hands here like I'm crumbling up something and throw it out. And yep. we'll save that for another day when Dell can join us. But there's something that I'm seeing here on Twitter, and I kind of went down the rabbit hole here a little bit on the Twitter.
Uh-oh.
And yeah, so I mean, it's obviously at this point, it's everything's a rumor. Okay.
Okay.
Everything's a rumor, but you do, you have Destination America or you don't? I can't remember.
I do not.
Okay. You do not. All right. Well, then you will be absolutely no help to me at all. You can just, you know, you can disconnect right now. Get off the damn radio show.
Well, just turn everything off. I'll just shut it down. We'll end the show right now.
We'll end it right now. Okay, so there's this thing going on online. There's some people that are connected within the business. People that I would call more reputable than others, let's say.
Okay.
if you've got like a Dave Meltzer or a Wade Keller, somebody like this, Court Bauer, people like this that are well-connected, when they say something, I'm more likely to put a little more credence behind it than I would if, you know, it's just something I read on some random Joe Blow's Twitter.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. There is some reputation that all of those guys have.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like I'm reading something from like Wrestle News with three Z's, you know, I'm not on their Twitter getting this information.
Right. And not going to a site that's bait and click with 9 million pop-ups and all that crap.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So there is something going on here with this TNA wrestling. Something is going on today. I don't know what you've read or what you've not seen, but if you go to the Wade Keller Twitter, he says, this is 2 hours ago, he says that TNA Impact tonight is going to be a significant historical show for the company, I'm told. It's going to make headlines for newsworthiness. Okay?
Okay.
Court Bauer of the MLWradio.com, you know, great podcast over there. We've plugged them many times in the past. We've had like Alex Greenfield on the show, and you know, I think they do a great thing over there. I really like their shows. He is talking something about a rumor about Jeff Jarrett. This is just a rumor. Again, you know, we don't do this kind of thing on our website. We don't post this kind of stuff to bait you and click and. We'll address these things on the radio show, but, you know, it's just here and there. So, Court Bauer is saying that there's a rumor that Jeff Jarrett was trying to buy majority of control of TNA Wrestling. A rumor.
Right. Yeah, I saw the same rumor circulating around Twitter, but nobody confirmed or denied anything.
Well, yeah, nobody's going to. But when you go to the actual source, now all TNA is saying on their Twitter... Let's see here. The last couple of things I've seen here. Buckle In, Impact Live is can't miss. Dixie saying that she's run into a few guys who she hasn't seen in a while backstage. Want to know? Tune in tonight. Bob Ryder says, be sure to tune in to Destination Impact. We have some surprises. Stuff like that. You go to Jeff Jarrett's Twitter. That's a whole other story.
Oh, yeah, because I'm looking at his Twitter right now, even from a day ago. Like, wow.
Yeah. Things are really coming together for this deal in air quotes, almost in legal's hands. Then 8 o'clock later that night, he says the deal is in legal's hands. Very excited about this. Here we go. Let's see. A couple hours later, not the first time, certainly will not be the last. Legalities can and will kill a deal quicker than anything. Hashtag not for lack of effort. And then finally, he says, well, stranger things have happened. Not a done deal, but a huge turnaround this morning. Definitely headed in the right direction. So, obviously, I mean, again, all this is rumor. We don't know any of this to be true. We must, you know, it's rumor has it. Who the hell knows what's going on?
Yeah, this is all speculation at this point.
Yes, but there is something going on here that, quite frankly, has got some people's attention. Everybody's talking about it on the Twitter. They're talking about it on the Reddit. People are buzzing about what this could be. As long as it's not Tito Ortiz debuting with the company for absolutely no pop or no response whatsoever, I think we'll be okay.
Right, because, I mean, it's enough that Global Force did their debut shows, I guess, in these minor league ballparks with a six-sided ring.
They did.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about the six-sided ring. Back in 05-06, I thought it was really cool. It was a neat idea.
Yeah.
But anymore, it's like, oh, come on.
Is it possible that maybe TNA could be rebranding? Maybe they're going to be GFW. Maybe they're finally getting away from the TNA name.
Maybe. Maybe it's all going to be, it very well could be. It could be absorbed all under the Global Force Wrestling banner.
There's some teasing about, what is this thing here? Who will EC3 choose to face Kurt Angle? I hope it's not Jeff Jarrett. I mean, no offense to Jeff. You know, Global Force has been cool to us in terms of getting back as far as media inquiries and things like that in the past. Disrespect to Jeff at all, but I hope we're not going to get Jeff Jarrett versus Kurt Angle here for this Slammiversary.
I hope not.
No offense, Jeff. I no disrespect intended, but that's just something I don't want to see.
No, I mean, TNA, they do have a deep roster. It is full of just amazing talent, so they have plenty to choose from.
Yeah.
Because that's never been TNA's problem. That's the one thing I'd say, that has never been their problem, is talent.
No, they've had plenty of talent over the years. They just, every couple of years, they want to reboot, they want to, you know, try something different. It never worked every time.
Or try something from the 90s.
Oh, God, remember when they were moving to Monday nights, the first thing they did was put Hogan, Hall, and Nash together again. I mean, come on.
Right.
You know.
And then the whole hardcore thing with Tommy Dreamer and ECW, that whole mess.
Oh, God, we had to hear about 1997 ECW just because they were pandering to New York hardcore fans.
Exactly, because they were in the Hammerstein.
I mean, granted, that might sell some tickets, but I wouldn't gauge just one crowd as, you know, an indicator of an entire world, you know, of what people are going to like or dislike. I mean, clearly.
But I mean, the microscope's on them. And if you're on national TV doing that stuff, then of course people are obviously going to pay attention.
Yeah. So I don't know what the hell's going on here. No one seems to know. Even guys like the Wade Kellers. These are the kind of guys who were, if they knew exactly what were happening, I have a feeling they would just post it. Hey, this is what we're hearing. This is what's going to happen.
Right.
But we're not getting any of that.
No, it'd be on their Twitter or their websites.
Probably their website. Purchase our membership and we'll tell you all about it.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. So I mean, I guess we're going to find out in less than an hour. It sucks to be Mr. Charles, who's coming up at 9. He's got to go head to head with TNA. Woo, Mr. Charles. Burn. Outside interference. Now, I like Mr. Charles. We had a nice talk today. It's good catching up with this good fellow. And then there's Mr. Martin and Mr. Sullivan.
Yes.
All the misters of the podcast world that is Wrestling Informant 24/7. The Wednesday Triple Threat, which you're listening live to right now, WrestlingInformant247.com. So, again,
hang on a second. Check this out. Outside Interference at Out Interference says, he quote, $10 says I beat TNA's ratings.
I would believe that.
He's probably not far off. I would take him up on that $10. I know he would.
Yeah, I would take the legal man Mark over the TNA guys any day. That guy's a pro. He is the king of Tampa Bay wrestling radio.
He is. He's right up there. If anybody should be king of the ring, it's this guy.
Well, you don't want to wish king of the ring on him because...
He would do something with it.
Well, come on now. I mean, yeah, you don't want to wish the king of the ring on anybody. I mean, look at Wade Barrett.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe he'd be the guy. Well, actually, you know what? We thought Wade Barrett would be the guy that turned it around, but apparently not.
No. We were dead wrong. So, I mean, any other thoughts on this TNA thing? I mean, again, we're just talking about rumors, so we can't really say a whole lot because we don't know a whole lot, but any other thoughts on what it could be? Obviously, we're going to find out in about 45 minutes.
Right. Yeah, I have no idea. We'll see.
Yeah. That's your official statement? You have no idea?
That's my official statement. Yeah, my official statement is I have no statement.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was hoping to suck up at least 2 minutes with some long-winded Chris explanation, and I got nothing.
You got nothing.
You now Zero. Gave me an extra 2 minutes to fill of content, which should not be a problem, but I mean, come on.
No, definitely not a problem.
Son of a bitch. What are you thinking? What are you thinking?
I don't know anything about it. I'm just in the same boat as everybody else. I'm wondering though if it is some kind of a legal partnership with Global Force Wrestling.
We'll see. I mean, maybe he's going to buy the whole damn thing. I don't know. I mean, could it be better in his hands? Possibly. I mean, I don't think TNA could get any worse. Right?
No, they did have a really good run. When he was in control.
Yeah, I mean, we're hearing from people all the time that, you know, they're doing okay now. You know, they got the right wrestling stuff. I guess they're having a couple of silly things here and there, but, you know, I mean, people have said generally that they're not all that bad now, but I think of it like, who the hell is left? It's like, if they finally got their act together, who the hell's left to stick around and watch it? That's the thing. You can tell people, hey, you should go back and watch them, but how many people are going to trust your word to go back and watch them? That's the question. They could be putting on the best show in the world right now, but how many people are really going to know about it?
Not many, especially on Destination America, where you have a select number of providers that will actually offer that channel.
Yeah, and I don't have
depending on the package, right? Even on my DirecTV package, I don't have it. They did give us a free preview of some of those channels, like El Rey and Destination America. So one night a couple weeks ago, I did check out Impact Wrestling.
Oh, okay.
It was so weird.
It's weird.
Just weird booking.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, it's weird. I have nothing for it. I can't comment on it. I've not seen it. Sling TV, I have them. They're kind of like a cable service in a way, although they're a lot cheaper, but they don't have any of the Discovery owned channels, which is a real bummer. And that brings me into my next talking point tonight. Did you watch Tough Enough last night?
Yes, I did.
Okay. I'm glad someone did.
No, I watched it.
Here's the thing. Let me speak on this for a second, if you will.
Yeah, go ahead. The floor is yours.
Here's the thing about the Tough Enough. This is what really upset me. You know, I am a cord cutter. People asked me on Twitter earlier today when I went and bitched about this on Twitter. They said, what is a cord cutter? So one more time, I'll explain it here on the podcast because there may be people listening. It's like, I don't know what a cord cutter is. All right, so I'm going to tell you. A cord cutter is someone who decides who, you know, they pay for cable or they pay for satellite and they decide, well, enough is enough. I don't want to pay for this stuff anymore because it's too expensive. And they ditch cable or they ditch satellite in favor of either A, watching over-the-air television with an antenna, which I do not do because I cannot get good reception, or they buy internet-based television packages like Netflix, Hulu, WWE Network, MLB TV. I'm a subscriber of all of these. And then there's people that choose to go about it the wrong way that are pirating stuff. That's just not my scene. Now, when I gave up cable, you know, one of the things I knew was, you know, on this show, we talk a lot about wrestling and a lot about WWE more specifically, because that's what most of our people are looking for when they listen to this show. That's what most of our listeners watch is WWE. And of course, we go into the Ring of Honor. We had Stokely Hathaway on 2 weeks ago. We had The Walking Weapon last week. You watch this pay-per-view, which we're going to definitely get into tonight. Mm-hmm. So we have coverage of that. So I said, okay, you know, it's okay. I can give up my cable because WWE has this great deal with Hulu to where they upload every one of their programs the very next day on Hulu. So Raw airs live on Mondays. And granted, I do miss interacting live with listeners of this podcast and readers of our website live on Mondays, because we do get a lot of interactions when we tweet live on Raw. So I gave that up. And, you know, I watch Raw on Tuesdays now on Hulu. They have SmackDown on Hulu. I think they have Main Event on Hulu. Basically, any WWE program that's on cable TV, they air on Hulu. Okay?
Right.
I'll give you $100 if you can guess the one show that they did not put on Hulu.
Gee, let me think. Could it be Tough Enough?
Ding, ding, ding. I don't have that on my button bar anymore, but I need to get it back because, you know, especially with the other things we're going to be doing here soon. But
right.
I need to put that back on the board. But
Resurrect your button bar.
I do. I mean, I have it, but I just don't have. I mean, I have this. Let's see. Speaking of button bar, sidebar. I have my breaking news stinger. That's all I have, really. I mean, I have the please stand by stuff. I've got our intro.
Right, I remember that.
I've got that. I've got our little outro. Hey, we'll see you guys later. Okay, no, we're not really leaving. And then I have the sync up music before the show. The little weird thing that we play that syncs us up. So anyway, what the hell am I talking? Oh yeah, Tough Enough. Okay, so I don't have ding ding ding. That was a stupid sidebar. Anyway. So they did not put Tough Enough on this Hulu. It's not on there. You can't watch it. Why? That's what I want to know. They have a deal with NBC Universal. Now, granted, I'm not privy to their contracts. I can't read their contract that says, what shows are going on and what shows aren't going on there. But I understood it as every show with NBC Universal, which includes Raw, SmackDown, all these shows, were going to go on Hulu. That's what they did. The WWE signed a deal with Hulu to put their shows up there.
Right.
And Tough Enough, which aired last night on USA Network. Excuse me. I don't know why I stuttered. USA Network. And it's not up. USA Network, is that not an NBC Universal property?
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah.
Let me go on Hulu.com right now to make sure I'm not making an ass out of myself, because last time I checked, it was not up here. Let me see. Let me just do a little quick search.
Right, that is very surprising. Or I'm surprised they didn't even do a Tough Enough exclusively on the WWE Network.
That would have made even more sense.
Yeah, that would have been the most logical choice. I am shocked they didn't even do that.
Wait a minute. Here's Tough Enough from 2011. Fantastic. I'm so glad I could get that.
So you can't even get 2015 Tough Enough.
No, they had time to upload all the Seinfeld episodes that people have seen 5,000 times, but they have not had a chance to upload Tough Enough. Thank you. Wonderful. So this is the part where I'm going to throw to you and tell you to tell me how Tough Enough was, and tell the listeners who may have not seen it how Tough Enough was, and if they did see it, what you thought about it. There you go, and go.
I remember how it used to be when they had Stone Cold, and they did, like, everything was happening with Stone Cold, and I guess in the Tough Enough house, and they would go do their challenges, and
yes,
everything was there. But this was really weird. It was very unusual, because what they did was they started out, they have everybody at Full Sail University. That's where they have the main Tough Enough stage.
Right.
Where they brought out all the judges. They kind of retrofitted one of the rings at Full Sail for the three judges, and then they bring out the contestants. And then what they do is they go back and they show all of the different challenges that I guess happened throughout the week.
Ooh. And how much did we see of that?
Oh, they showed all of the opening challenges. One of them was at the Citrus Bowl, the very first challenge, to kind of, so that way the trainers could see who's quote tough enough.
The Citrus Bowl, for those that don't remember, it was the site of WrestleMania 24.
Yes, it was.
Okay. I'm smart. I'm intelligent.
You're awesome.
Throw me a freaking bone here, okay? $1 million. Okay, never mind. Go ahead.
All right, and then of course they show all the reality show type drama that happens in the Tough Enough housing inside the complex, and that was a big yawn. I could have done without that. But then I'm kind of bummed that they don't have the judges vote. Because most reality shows, you have the judges vote who stays and who goes.
Aha!
There's the Tough Enough app, and you can use the hashtag Tough Enough and then the contestant's name to vote, and that's all it is. There's the challenges, and then there's the judges have an opportunity to save somebody once for the entire season.
So what is it, like X Factor or
the audience votes, like at the end, you know, like Chris Jericho gives everybody like a 15 minute window. It's like, okay, vote. And then they all have their plea, and then like, okay, voting's closed. Here's who's leaving.
So they have all this, but I can't watch. I can't watch it on TV.
Right. Or,
by the way, I tuned in here to the iPhone app store, where you can normally go and buy different cool things. You can buy TV shows per se. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Not Tough Enough. You type in Tough Enough and what comes up? Clifford the Big Red Dog. And the reason why that comes up is because there is a episode called Tough Enough Stars in Your Eyes, Clifford the Big Red Dog, Volume 2. Here's hoping Clifford takes a big crap on himself. Fantastic.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sold on the new form, on this particular format.
Yeah, well, hold on.
I don't know, maybe they'll convince me otherwise as it goes along.
Chris? You there? Yeah. Stand by.
I'm here.
Stand by. We have breaking news here in the Wrestling Informant news desk.
If you want.
We want to thank at ChaseM262 for sending us this tweet. Jeff Jarrett is, in fact, back in TNA Wrestling.
Wow.
There's a picture. I just retweeted it.
I see it. I'm looking at it right now.
There it is. Jeff Jarrett in the ring.
With his wife.
With his wife. Didn't we... I want to find this audio one day. Didn't we say something about Global Force? Wouldn't it be funny if they teamed up with TNA? I know there's audio of this somewhere. Don't even call me a liar.
There has to be, because that wouldn't surprise me, because even though Jeff Jarrett had stepped down and stepped away and then started his own promotion, and his new promotion is very much like TNA in some aspects.
Yes. So, okay, there you have it. Jeff Jarrett back at Impact Wrestling. We don't know what he's saying, though. This is just a picture. We don't know what he's saying. So there you go.
Obviously we'll find out. Well, I won't find out because I don't have it, but
I'm sure we'll find out. Well, the internet will find out for us. How about that?
Yep, Twitter will find out. The internet will find out. Anybody that actually has Destination America.
We need a historian of Wrestling Informant to go through the archives and find a clip where we set this. I'm telling you right now. I guarantee
we either joked about it or actually predicted that something like this would happen.
We had a joke about this. I'm telling you.
I know we did.
I'm telling you right now we did. So there you have it. Jeff Jarrett in TNA. We have no idea what's going on. But there you go. There you have it. All right. Well, back to Tough Enough. And if we get any more updates, we'll update you as we go along. Of course, by the time podcast people hear this, it'll be old news by this point. But hey, you know, what are you going to do? All right. Back to the Tough Enough. Sorry.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, I wasn't exactly thrilled with this format of how they bring everybody on stage live, like all the contestants, and then they like flashback throughout the hour showing all of the challenges and competitions and everything like that.
Right.
So, yeah, and then having the audience vote, but yeah, it's like that X Factor format where the judges are there to offer their, I guess, feedback and to hear their plea.
Uh-huh.
So to speak. And Jericho's there. Obviously, Jericho's the host. And I don't know. It's just weird. It's just different. I'm not used to seeing it this way, so hopefully it'll grow on me. But that's really all I got on Tough Enough.
How was Daniel Bryan? How was Paige? How was Hulk Hogan? How was all these people?
Oh, they were fine. I mean, I'd say Paige is probably the tough. It seems like she's the toughest one of them all, but it's only week one. It's hard to tell because she's calling out all these guys. She's like, oh, you said this, but you didn't deliver. What do you have to say? Right. Daniel Bryan was kind of the low-key, kind of laid-back, kind of laughing at things. And then Hogan was quiet.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, Hogan was really quiet.
That's new for Hulk Hogan. It's definitely new for Hulk Hogan. Normally he's always got something to say, you know, like he's never...
He's never at a loss for words. But this is week one, so I'm hoping... As the weeks go on, we see at least something, but obviously we get a lot out of the trainers, the coaches, Lita, Booker T, and Billy Gunn.
So you get more out of them.
Yeah.
Oh well, fantastic.
Yeah, you got Billy Gunn with a megaphone screaming at these guys. You got Booker T really going after people, and Lita being Lita.
How is Lita being Lita? I mean, what?
Yeah, she's okay. I don't see her being as hard as Booker T or even Billy Gunn. Billy Gunn's the hardest one of all the judges.
So he's like the Bill DeMott, basically. He's like the hard ass.
He is. And even when they did the 40, the auditioning for 40 down to 13, Matt Bloom was a hard ass too. The new head trainer of NXT.
Well, I mean, you got to be kind of a hard ass. I mean, you can't just be soft on these guys. But I wonder if, like, some of those are, you know, being kind of, let's say, what is that? Embellished a little bit. I mean, are they being a little too hard for camera? You know what I mean?
Not really. I mean, it wasn't anything like how Power Plant used to be back in the day. But they said, we're going to push you. And they got in their faces and they did exactly what they said they were going to do.
Well, wait a minute here. Hold on a second. Stand by. I guess we're going to be playing this damn thing all night long.
for the next 30 minutes, we're just going to have...
according to Twitter here, we're going to go to according to Twitter. This is where we're getting all of our hot news.
That is the source of 2015 is Twitter. It's not the New York Times. It's not the Washington Post. It's not a reputable news media outlet. It's Twitter.
There you go. Jeff Jarrett officially announcing he will be in the King of the Mountain at Slammiversary.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. Do not tell me.
That cannot be right. Please tell me that's not right.
I hope that is like a troll tweet or...
I hope that's a joke because I'm seeing some joke tweets on here about somebody like... Jeff Jarrett competing for the World Class Championship Wrestling title. Just stuff like that. I'm seeing some weird crap like that. I'm hoping that that's...
Oh, man. I'm hoping
somebody being a... Yeah, I'm hoping that is total BS.
I just, you know, again, no offense to Jeff, okay? But I just don't see the upside in him being an active wrestler on a wrestling program in 2015. The same thing I would say about... somebody like Kane, Big Show, all this
right,
stuff.
That we keep saying every single week.
Well, thanks for pointing out that we're repetitive, Chris. We're every single week. Thank you.
Oh, no problem.
I love it.
Glad I could do it.
Oh, boy. So there you have it. Jeff Jarrett in the King of the Mountain match, according to Twitter. Speaking of guys I don't want to see anymore, yeah, we talked about Kane, of course, as you pointed out many times. Right. Here's the thing. So they have this beatdown at the end of Raw, and again, I know we're all over the freaking place here, so just forgive me, we're sidetracked by all this breaking news. Here's the thing. So Kane and the Authority are beating down Brock Lesnar. How do you feel about that? I don't expect him to be, well, maybe I do expect him to be 100% dominant, but I mean, I guess he has to like get his ass kicked once or a while, but Kane's the guy. And then Seth Rollins gets the final word at the end of the show. I mean, that's fine. I mean, cause Seth Rollins is the world champion. He should get that last word, but
right.
Really, Kane, come on, guys.
Well, at first I'm thinking, oh man, it's gonna be cool. They're just gonna bail on him and leave Seth Rollins to deal with the beast on there. That's really what I thought. As soon as they hopped out of the ring, I'm thinking, oh man, because that's how I thought it should have been. Because I want to see Brock Lesnar just absolutely dominate.
Yeah.
Because he's the beast and just go on a tear, just like he did when he was the champion. Just a total tear when he was there and just being the monster, intimidating. I did not expect that.
He is totally the, the top baby face now, is he not? I mean, he really is.
He's a full-on baby face. Everybody just loves him and loves Paul Heyman. Oh, I always love Paul Heyman.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's just a complete face turn.
It is. And I think that, you know, this was going to be inevitable at some point. You know, there's no way Lesnar could be a heel forever, especially when people are responding to him in the way that they are. You know, he's right. So over with the people, you're not going to turn them against him. They want to see him beat the hell out of everybody. That's what they want to see.
I do. Not Kane and J&J Security and Seth Rollins just totally destroy. And it was the choke slams. I mean, come on. Really? The choke slams? You couldn't have Seth Rollins drop him with a petty?
Oh, well, yeah, he did.
He did. But, I mean, make that the statement.
I mean, I get it. Seth Rollins is supposed to be like the chicken crap heel who, you know.
Yeah.
I get all that, but at the same time, it's like does he need someone to do it all for him every time? Like, can he do something like super dastardly? Like, maybe he takes a chair and takes out one of Brock's legs or something. Like, he, you know, he blindsides him or something. Like, put right, the heat all on Seth, not on right,
or,
you know,
or
the
jump,
other guys.
Try to jump or jump him backstage or something. Something you would expect a heel to do.
Yeah, but something to where it's believable, because we all know, you know, you put Brock Lesnar and Seth Rollins in a 1-on-1 fight. Obviously, it's pretty obvious who's going to win that. But
right, yeah, an actual shoot fight, yeah, is Brock Lesnar all day long.
But what I'm saying is, can he like come up from behind, or you know, like take him out at the legs? Because if Brock can't stand, he really can't fight. Or you can at least convey that message. I'm sure Brock can handle himself on or off his feet because he's just a bad MF-er, but. Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, I don't want to nitpick it to death because you got to give Seth Rollins some sort of a comeuppance. I mean, you got to give him his heat, and that's fine. But I don't know that we need Kane and J&J and all that stuff, because it's just like they spend all this time like getting him away from those guys, and then they're kind of like going right back with him. That's the part of it that I don't like. Everything else is fine. You want to have him beat down Lesnar once, or you know, whatever. That's fine. But I just don't think we need all this extra ancillary people. So
no, not at all.
I just don't need to see that.
I'm hoping in the next couple weeks, because now we're still, what, 4 weeks away from Battleground?
Yeah.
We got 4 weeks, yeah.
4 weeks, yeah. I figured as much, so hopefully they can steer this thing the right way and get Lesnar some momentum back after that beatdown on Monday night.
All right, stand by, Chris.
More breaking news.
We have more breaking news from the breaking news desk here at the Wrestling Informant Imaginary News Desk. Vader is at TNA Impact tonight.
What? Vader?
Yes, I guess. It makes sense to me. Jeff Jarrett's bringing all these classic guys at GFW, so maybe he's bringing some of his classic friends. And no offense to Vader, because Vader, when he was on Raw, like, what, 2 years ago or something, he looked really good. He was fine.
Oh, he looked great.
But,
of course, he was always awesome in Japan. And WCW and all that.
Of course. He's been awesome in many things. But, yeah, so Vader is at Impact. This is great. So this is the big surprise, you see? Every time.
If we see Vader, I wonder if we see, like, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, because...
Ho!
Whenever they were doing their pressers announcing their roster reveals, Hacksaw Jim Duggan was one of the individuals.
Yes, he was.
So what are the odds? What are the odds we see him showing up in a TNA ring?
What about Chael Sonnen?
Yeah.
I don't know how Impact crowd would react to Chael Sonnen, but...
Yeah, I don't know either.
Yeah. All right, so that's the latest on that. We got about 4 more weeks till Battleground. Another match that's official now. Kevin Owens, John Cena. Now, this one is for the belt, right? The U.S. title.
Yes, it is.
Okay, fantastic. These two, another nice exchange this past week on Raw. I really enjoyed it. I mean,
no, that was really good.
I've not seen one that I didn't like yet.
No,
I'll put it to you that way. So I, you know, look, I enjoyed it. It was fun. Here's the thing. When they get to the match at Battleground, what are they going to do? And I know that, you know, of course, we'll have our predictions in a couple of weeks, and we'll have to, you know, put our name down on the sheet as far as who we're picking and all that stuff. The proverbial imaginary sheet. We'll have to put it in writing, as they say. But what are they going to do? I guess in my mind, if I just had to guess offhand, I guess he probably will lose the title to Finn Balor on this Japan show. And then that frees up the NXT title to go back to NXT to Finn Balor. And then, you know what, maybe he beats John Cena for the U.S. or John Cena beats him. Or how does that work?
I would think that if they really wanted to push Kevin Owens to the moon like they're doing now, they do exactly that. He drops the title to Finn at the July 4th show in Tokyo. And then he takes the U.S. title from Cena clean at Battleground.
Okay, here's another question. If they decide to go the other way, if Kevin Owens does not beat John Cena, or in other words, does he have to beat John Cena? Is it gonna hurt him if he doesn't beat John Cena?
I don't think so. Because after this, they got SummerSlam. So they could do some kind of a cheap finish at Battleground and leave it up in the air, and then maybe have some ultimate deciding title match at SummerSlam.
Yeah, but I don't know. So
I mean that'd be five matches. I mean, that'd be what, four matches?
Yeah,
if they went to SummerSlam.
So are you saying that you think they'll probably go to a fourth match? Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, they could.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know if I want to see
I don't know if I want to see it. I wouldn't put it past him for doing it. But I mean, who do you move the when you move on from these two, who do they go after?
Yeah,
who's next for Kevin Owens? Who's next for John Cena?
That's the thing. But at the same time, you kind of do want to see a little bit of a change at some point. And that's kind of the thing with the monthly shows. It's like, well, you know, you got to get two or three rematches out of this before you move on to the next guy. But where do you move Kevin Owens on to if he does move? I mean, what do you do?
That is a very good question. Because yeah. I seriously doubt that they'll do the dual champion type deal on Kevin Owens, like where he's the NXT champion and also the US champion.
Yeah.
I seriously doubt they do that.
I guess we're just going to have to wait and see. But I'm enjoying right now John Cena and Kevin Owens. I mean, if we can get 100 matches, well, I don't know if I want 100 matches, but I mean, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world to get, you know.
No, just get a few more out of them.
Yeah,
I'd say two more. At the most.
Yeah.
I'd say two at the most.
So, yeah, what do you do? So I guess we're going to have to wait and see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Really not much else on that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's more of a wait and see. What do you think about this Roman Reigns Bray Wyatt deal? What's your whole take on that?
At first I wasn't sold on it, but I'm thinking, man, Bray Wyatt is super creepy now, especially with that whole rocking chair and that tea party. Kind of showing the vulnerable side of Roman Reigns.
Right.
And I kind of like it. The fact that I wasn't too sold the fact that it just happened out of nowhere. Like it just happened during the Money in the Bank, but I guess it had to happen somewhere if it did. But I'm wondering now if we do ever get to see Roman Reigns back in the title picture.
Oh, he'll be back. I mean, I think probably at some point this is going to be He's gonna beat Bray Wyatt eventually, and that has to happen.
Oh, yeah.
He's the guy that they've wanted to, allegedly. I mean, that, you know, so I gotta think that's the way it's gonna go, right? I mean,
oh yeah, I would think he just totally beats down.
Yeah,
totally takes care of Bray Wyatt. Although it's not doing any good for Bray Wyatt if he loses.
Yeah,
he's not exactly piling up the wins. Like some guys where a win-loss doesn't really matter because they both still look good. Yeah, Bray Wyatt needs a win.
Bray Wyatt needs something. Roman Reigns.
He does, but I don't know if he do it against Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like Roman Reigns. This is like his redemption, his road to redemption. After losing at WrestleMania to try to get back into the picture and then have all these detours and road bumps along the way.
Yeah. For me, we'll see. The one thing I didn't like, when he was going to the back, everybody's been talking about this. So I'm going to throw in my two cents on it. Everybody's been commenting about how they thought he didn't run fast enough to the back. I didn't think it was that bad.
No.
Everybody was kind of saying, when he was running to the back to go get Bray Wyatt, he didn't look like he was running fast enough. I mean, it looked like he was trying to sell his back a little bit after that match with Sheamus. And then he was trying to, like, you know, head to the back. So I don't know.
I was going to say, do most guys really run to the back that fast?
I've never seen a super fast run.
I have not either. Even for the smaller guys, you don't see them. You don't see, they like do a light jog. it's not even really a sprint.
Yeah.
It seems like they run faster when they're chasing after somebody. like when they're like either chasing around the ring or chasing up the ramp, actually like trying to catch up. But just running to the back, it's never fast.
Never. So I'm not gonna take a crap on Roman for that. Anything else about Raw that struck you? Anything at all? Anything else you liked or didn't like?
No, I fast forwarded through a majority of the matches. I was behind on the DVR, so I was skipping through a lot of stuff. Uh-huh. And some of the matches, like the whole Big Show segment, I skipped through all that with Ryback.
Very good.
What did Big Show call you? The itty bitty guy.
Nah,
I was like, puke. Fast forward. I'm thinking, oh man, maybe we'll get something good. Yeah, who am I kidding? We're not getting squat.
Oh.
We're going to get another Big Show. We're going to get a Big Show. Are we getting a triple threat? We're getting a triple threat match at Battleground.
Yippee.
For the Intercontinental title.
Yippee. That's what I say to that. Yippee.
Yep. Yeah, it's Big Show, Ryback, and Miz. Exactly the people that we want to see on a pay-per-view.
All right. Well, look, we got just under 10 minutes, about 8 minutes. Go ahead and walk us through this Ring of Honor pay-per-view. I heard it was a big one, so we got to hear about
that. Yes, it was. Oh, yes, it was. Right from the opening bell, of course, it was on traditional pay-per-view, and it was from Terminal 5 in New York City where they've had previous shows.
Let me ask you about the venue before you barrel roll through the matches. A lot of people mixed on this venue. A lot of people say that it's not really meant to be a wrestling venue, that it's more of like a club concert venue, and the seating's not so good, the lighting's not so good. Where do you rank on this building?
It seems like it's way too small, especially for Ring of Honor. I know Ring of Honor is not really, you know, you're not going to pack 40,000 people like you would in a WWE pay-per-view or Tokyo Dome or wherever.
Right.
But I would think it would be a bigger venue. And I can understand having the smaller ones. We had the more intimate crowd, but this seemed like really small because you have the upper deck seating, which is really weird. It's not even like traditional upper deck seating.
Yeah, it's like balconies or something?
Yeah. It's like all balconies all the way around.
All right. And as far as the lighting, have they figured out this damn lighting? Because every time I hear a review about one of their shows, it's all this damn blue lighting or whatever. It's horrible. How's the lighting now? Is it better? Have they figured it out?
I don't know. I still don't think they figured it out. the lighting is still very weird. It still almost looks like somebody's recorded on a high-def camcorder.
Well, they need to figure that out. They don't be taken seriously.
Right. Yeah, the lighting is still very weird.
I think it's safe to say they have the wrestling down.
Right, it was almost like I was at a house show.
Oh, Jesus.
Where the lighting is just weird. I don't know. I'm hoping that they get that straightened out.
Yeah, they've got.
But I don't think I don't think the venues help either.
No, probably not.
Maybe a little bit bigger venue, and that may help something.
Yeah.
But it did have like an underground type feel still.
All right. Well, I mean, they've got the wrestling figured out. They just need to figure out the presentation, for Christ's sake. All right, run us through this show, sir. We have 6 minutes. Let's hear it.
All right, so we'll start out with the opening. We had Mark Briscoe. He took on Donovan Dijak in the opener because Donovan Dijak's in the House of Truth. It was a good match, and it was a nice, steady pace to open the show. Let's see. The Decade defeated Matt Sydal and ACH.
All right.
Let's see. Yeah, BJ Whitmer is definitely a super heel at this point. Everybody hates him, even Steve Corino. I guess they're doing this whole angle with Steve Corino's son, Colby, who's one of these young boys that's in the Decade stable, to where they have like a lackey that like gets their water, cleans them off, just like a total bitch type of deal.
Right on.
And next we had Dalton Castle. Now, I don't know. Dalton Castle is one of these guys who is he's really over with this whole peacock gimmick.
Okay.
And you heard me right. He's got this peacock character that he does. And he is just super, he is just super over right now.
What?
And he's got these young boys dressed up in like like Halloween, like party masks, and they got their feather boas, and it's just really weird, but it is super over. And it was a perfect compliment with Silas Young, the last real man, who is just absolutely hates everything and everybody.
Huh.
Let's see. Yeah, Don Castle did get the pin there. We had War Machine, which is Hanson and Rowe. They took on CNC Wrestle Factory, which was Caprice Coleman and Cedric Alexander, but that tag team is no more. It's like they came back together for this one, and then they just totally split up.
Uh-huh.
But the CNC Wrestle Factory, will that split up will lead into one of the later matches.
Can I break in for just a moment? Not TNA related. Someone is posting some pictures on Twitter here. Screen grabs from NXT tonight. And I see a picture of Finn Balor holding up a Bullet Club shirt on NXT TV.
Wow.
This looks like a backstage video, so it's not like he's out in the ring. It's not like they're coming to TV.
I know why. I know exactly what it is.
What happened?
Because what they've been doing this week and last week, they've been doing like a biopic or retrospective on who is Finn Balor.
Right.
And it's like here's Finn Balor's life, because they did, like last week they did, you know, they talked about his career when he got started, you know, like when he was a kid, how he got into the business, how he helped Becky Lynch get into wrestling.
I see.
And then this week they're focusing on Japan, because where he got his big break.
So they are acknowledging this.
Oh, yeah. Wow. They're acknowledging. Because even last week they showed graphics with him with the IWGP Junior Heavyweight title.
Yeah, but this is Bullet Club, man. I mean, this is, you know, this is huge.
Man, no, it is a big deal. Well, he was one of the, him and Carl Anderson were the founders. They started the Bullet Club.
Well, I know this, but, you know.
I'm just making sure you knew.
I know. Sure
keep it. And there may be people out there that don't know. They just know the Bullet Club's awesome, but maybe they didn't know its origins.
Fantastic. By the way, this picture of Jeff Jarrett on the TNA ring, he's wearing a Global Force shirt in the ring.
Whoa.
So we don't have word yet on as far as what he said, if it had anything to do with him buying anything. So that could have been BS, but maybe he's just wrestling for them. I don't know, but we'll find out. We'll see. All right, we have exactly 2 minutes, so we'll just do a quick recap of the rest of the matches here and go.
Okay, I'll just go through what I think the match of the night.
Well, how did my boy Moose do? Moose, how did he do?
He looked great, but he did not win the match.
Oh, come on! Who did he lose to?
Roderick Strong is the number one.
How many matches this guy won?
Mr. ROH, who's been in Ring of Honor for all of 10 years. Is the number one contender for the world heavyweight title. And that led to a nasty heel turn by Cedric Alexander, who I mentioned he stopped CSC Wrestle Factory. He broke up. They've been kind of teasing a heel turn.
Right.
I had to cough there.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, they were teasing a heel turn. He's like, he was not really racking up any wins. He was getting pretty pissed off. And then he just clocked Moose with a wrench. After the match, he just clocked Moose, knocked him out.
Ah, well, okay.
Yeah, so I was hoping for Moose to win.
That would have been nice.
That would have been great. So we're gonna see. It looks like we're gonna see a feud between Moose and Cedric Alexander.
Aha. Well,
and then let's see. We got the match of the night, and this may surprise a lot of people. But it was the Bullet Club, who consisted of this, in this grouping was the IWGP Heavyweight Champion, AJ Styles, and the Young Bucks. They took on the Kingdom. And of course, this feud has been brewing, has been going on since the Kingdom won the tag titles off of a Gallows and Machine Gun. And this six-man tag match just had everything. I know some people, they're shocking, they call it Spot Fest. I don't know. It was just, there's a good story being told here. They teased some dissension within the Kingdom, especially after they lost the match. Maria ate a double super kick from the Young Bucks and sold it like a champ.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Anything else?
I'm just going to go ahead. I'm going to congratulate Jay Lethal right now because yeah. Jay Lethal beat Jay Briscoe for the world title. Clean.
I'm glad for Jay Lethal because he deserves it. I mean, this guy has been around forever. He's worked hard. He deserves a big win, and I'm glad that he is finally the world champion of any company. I mean, seriously.
Oh, yeah. And he actually, how he won it was he hit Jay Briscoe with his own move, the J-Driller, and then hit the lethal injection to get the pin. And just the buzz, just the internet buzz around Jay Lethal's win was amazing. Because like you said, he is one guy that has worked so hard and got screwed so many times out of opportunities in other companies. And for him to be the man, to be a double champion right now, it's just, you just can't have any better individual for Ring of Honor, for your brand, representing the company than Jay Lethal.
Yeah, he's a hell of a hand, as they say. and no doubt he's earned it for real. So congrats to Jay Lethal. And really, guys, this is going to do it for us today. So we'll continue to follow this TNA thing. Obviously, we'll know more by tonight after the show airs. And we'll be back to talk all about it next week. How about that one?
Yes. Yes, we will.
So I am Gary Cantrell. That's Chris McManamy. And we're going to ride this sucker out. I'm at PW Informant, and where do they get you, Chris?
At Chris McManamy and at HC Tech Show.
Very good. We'll see you guys next week. Thank you for tuning in. WrestlingInformant.com/Amazon. Go there now. See you guys later.
Wrestling Informant 24/7. WrestlingInformant.com.